yell at him?
Yeah, if you'd like to. Well, for this this lesson, we're on lesson 5, which in your book is entitled Militant Atheism. And though there's a lot of things that I think we could talk about as far as Christian evidences, I do think it's good that we have a chapter in here that talks about atheists and really their efforts, especially in our country and in our culture, and how much of an impact they are making and they intend to make in the future, and for us to be aware of it. Because a lot of the stuff that we could talk about, we've hit in general, and you can really study those things on your own. There's so much in this course that really everything that we talk about is really just scratching the surface, a very brief introduction to all these subjects. But tonight, we're going to look at militant atheism, and the first thing we're going to talk about is atheists speaking out. And I have this quote here at the top of your page. Stephen Charnock, in 1682, claimed, "History does not reckon 20 professed atheists in all ages in the whole compass of the world." And he said that in Existence and Attributes of God, page 32. And that quote is very interesting to me, especially considering the way that atheists are now. And it's hard to tell whether or not atheism is becoming more or less common than it has been in other periods in history. It's really hard to tell about that. But certainly, I think one thing that you can say for sure is that this shows that they're much more vocal than they have been in years past. And even the atheists will admit this. Actually, they claim that, and what you'll read in the chapter, what you have read in the chapter, but they'll claim that atheists now are more kind of like homosexuals were in the 60s, that they're kind of coming out and really being proud about their atheism, whereas in time past, because of maybe fear of persecution, they weren't as vocal. So whether or not people have been, from science, have been convinced more of atheism or not is kind of hard to tell. But certainly they're much more vocal than and influential than they have been in times past. And you can look up some of these men and some of their writings. Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens are a couple of the ones that I mentioned here. And these men are very vocal and very quick to ridicule God and religion. And the interesting thing to me is that the discussion that they engage themselves in is not so much an examine of the evidence anymore. It's not so much an open examination of whether or not evolution or creation is right. They're working basically with the assumption, I would call it an assumption, the assumption that atheism is right, that evolution has been proven, and they kind of just poke fun at those who have not caught up to speed, that haven't accepted evolution yet. And as we've looked, you know, we looked last lesson at evolution, and we examined it, and you know, it's really not nailed down the way that they make it seem. I think most people that are taught in the school systems today evolution, they think that, or at least they're given the idea by our school systems, that the reason atheism has come about, or the reason that evolution is taught, is because we've been forced to that conclusion because of the scientific evidence. But based on what we looked at last week, is that true? I mean, that's not even close. Everything that they have done is because they've made the assumption that evolution must be true, and they've interpreted all the scientific evidence in light of that. But as we looked last week, and you can study more and more about that, you can go more in depth, really the creation model fits the evidence much more closely, and it would be a better explanation of the whole system, of all of the evidence, than this is. Really, the evidence is the same, but it's the interpretation that people have put on it. And when scientists start to talk about origins, they're really getting out of their realm, aren't they? I mean, was anybody there to observe? You know, can we observe our origin like we can something in a test tube? Obviously, we talked about how, you know, microevolution can be observed. No, I'm talking about macroevolution. I'm talking about going from one kind of animal to another, you know, things that really would have to be necessary for the general theory of evolution to be true. They can't do that. And so really they're getting into a realm of philosophy. And yet they claim it as their ground, so to speak, and they say for religion to get into that, or for us to even have the possibility that some supernatural creator brought this about, that can't be explained by natural, purely natural processes. It must be something supernatural, and so they throw it out. But these people, like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, they say that the reason that they want to teach people about atheism is because it's going to improve us, that it is all part of this evolutionary process, that religion is holding us back. And Christopher Hitchens would claim that basically it was our first try trying to explain things, trying to form some sort of theory about how everything worked. And now that we have science, it really needs to be discarded. And we don't need to lean on the crutch of these medieval ideas of God.
Mark, I don't make it in bond. I read a paper, I thought it was actually a mistake. I read it two different times and talked about homeschoolers. And they said a lot of homeschooling parents were upset with the materials available because they didn't tell the truth about evolution. And I kept thinking, well, it has to be religiously based. But it was the other direction. They were upset because most of the homeschool material is based on creation as a religious tenet. They don't want that. They said they were saying it doesn't tell the truth about this material, doesn't tell the truth about evolution. So I think they really think that it is a primitive view, and it's not an enlightened view. And they claim it's not the truth. You know, it's not created. You're not telling the truth about what really happens. We don't want our children exposed to that.
Yeah. Who was complaining about
it? It was homeschoolers, but we're not going for religious reasons.
It was within the last week.
Yeah, they said they couldn't get material to tell the truth about it. I couldn't hardly...
But how many homeschoolers are not doing it for religious reasons?
Well, it surprised me. I think it was 25%. There's some percentage of that. Jenna, do you remember? It's a larger number than I thought. We're doing it for educational reasons rather than for religious reasons. They said material wasn't available for homeschoolers to teach what they believe to be true. So.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what we're going to get into in the last part of this lecture. Education is really the battleground for this, you know, where they're saying, you know, you certainly don't need to be given even the option or hinting at the fact, at any possibility for creation. That is just, you know, it's going backwards. The thing I don't get about that is, you know, why are they so urgent? They would say, well, you know, people will be better if they get, you know, if they get religion off their back and they really accept the facts. But to me, the whole effort really is going to be taken care of if evolution... I mean, seriously, if evolution has brought us to where we are now, with as complex as we are, and with all the ideas, and if evolution has come to the point where it's actually revealed itself through the teachings of Darwin and these men, then is it a really big feat for evolution to overcome religion? So I don't see why they're so urgent to push, because is an evolution going to take care of it all? Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. But if everything is just basically physical, and what your beliefs are just chemical processes in your brain, then obviously, since these people are the more enlightened ones, they're the ones that are the fittest, and they're going to survive, then religious people will be, you know, weeded out anyway.
I think it's important to us. I think they view us as teaching, promoting illiteracy in science. That, you know, you're teaching them stuff that's not true, and therefore you're weakening our scientific knowledge base, or encouraging our children to become explain our origins, and so you're dragging us down.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the only thing I can explain why they would.
Yeah, and they kind of cast a bad light on some of the first scientists that really, you know, I mean, something that's listed in here, Michael Faraday and Pasteur and a bunch of the scientists that really have given us a lot of done things, more things than anybody today is really going to achieve. They all believed in creation, and the very idea that there is order in the universe and that we can find certain patterns was based on creation, that there is a creator. And so I don't, maybe they would say, well, that's, you know, that was back then and we've come to more knowledge now. But, you know, Christopher Hitchens, that, you know, he said people started out with many gods, and now in a sense people aren't atheists, everybody's an atheist in some sense, because nobody believes in the god Ra today, or nobody follows Zeus today, and so you don't believe in those things, so you've done away with those. And people then came to monotheism, where they believe in one god, and he's saying they're getting closer to the truth, and they just need to get rid of one more and they'll have the truth. And so they all think of this as something that is really going to help us, and in one sense they inciting religion and the moral corruption that goes about in the name of religion. There is a point, I think, to be made there. I mean, think about all the false religion that is out there and things that are done in the name of that. I mean, you think about Islam and the horrible things that are done. But even closer to home, think about the things that have been done by Catholicism. And that's certainly what the scientists, in the Age of Enlightenment were reacting to. I mean, the Catholics had been persecuting anybody that had a different idea. What about Galileo and Copernicus being excommunicated for their scientific discoveries? And, you know, that, the Pope saying, no, that's not true, that the Earth revolves around the Sun. Everything revolves around the Earth, you know. And so certainly their reaction to that was kind of the birth of the Enlightenment and the Protestant Reformation. So... so they think, they seriously think that it'll be better. And they say that the religion actually gives a bad morals. Well, there is false religion. But that doesn't mean that there's not a pure religion, right? James 1:27. It's kind of like, you know, when Nathaniel says, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, all he had heard of Nazareth was bad things, right? You throw religion out there. Is there any such thing as a good thing out of Nazareth? Is there any such thing as a good religion? Yeah, there is a pure religion. James 1, verse 27. So, you can't take the abuse of something and use that for all of it. So, that's basically where they're at on this. And they're very critical of God. John recommended I listen to Christopher Hitchens, and basically he's all just, you know, he pokes at God and religion, and it's like a comedy club up there, you know, just a bunch of intellectual stabs at God.
And so I'm still behind it. That's
yeah.
The problem. So very hostile.
Mm-hmm. So when we go into this next section. What I want to say before that is this: in the whole issue of morality, I realize that there are things that are done because people say, "Well, God's on my side," that are immoral. But it still all comes back to this: if they're saying that evolution is going to give us a better moral compass, if you're stuck with pure evolution, when did moral value even come into the picture? I mean, was it there before humans were here? No. I mean, they would say that moral value has come into the scene after humans came on the scene. And so they would say moral value is something that's just in man's mind, really, and subjective. And so the teachings, you know, when somebody takes something like selection, survival of the fittest, like Hitler did, and applies it to, you talk about a generation that was taught that God does not exist, and this idea of survival of the fittest, the Nazis taught that. Look at the results. And even if that's not the case, in every situation, people that are practical atheists and the way that they behave toward their fellow man, I mean, they want to cite evils done in religion. Well, it can do the same thing to them. And evils done in the idea of atheism. The book of Judges says that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why would it be any different if we take God out of the picture? Why not? Every man doing right in his own eyes. What, you know, when they accuse and they cite these crimes done in the name of religion, why would those be wrong? And that's something that they never get to. That they'll say, well, this is horrible, that is horrible, but why? And why ought we to be good? This sense of oughtness is never really addressed. But anyway, going to really where the battlefield is, and we're all really familiar with these things. For instance, the government and you know, separation of church and state, we hear that talked about a lot, and most of us are aware of the fact that it's not really, that phrase is not really found in the Constitution. Though the First Amendment says that you're not supposed to make any law respecting a religion, the phrase separation of church and state was actually in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote. And so, basically, the idea, though, the idea that the state and the church should not be the same thing is supported by the First Amendment. But the idea that that basically was to mean that you shouldn't have any mention of God, that's never what was intended by it. The purpose of the First Amendment was really, you know, a reaction to the state and the church being the same thing. You think about the backdrop of our founding fathers and what they were fleeing from. You want to go ahead and chime in on that?
Something else very important on that point that most people don't know, the average American doesn't know our history or our heritage at all. The whole idea of freedom of religion and the state not interfering, it was not to protect the government from religion. The opposite. It was to protect religion from the government. To protect religious freedom from governmental interference. So it wasn't keeping the church away from the state, it was keeping the state away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole historical basis of it, because they knew about government interference with the church in with the religion in Europe, and that was the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't an attempt to remove God from our society. It was to make sure that our society did not interfere with belief in God.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about that. Dave, notice Thomas and God. And we've all seen that DVD. I think you got it, Jim.
I haven't seen it, no.
But it just goes through in all our, you know, founding fathers. Throughout their writings and speeches, with references to God and His asking for His blessings and His protection. You know, so it was. Obviously, it's not their intent.
And, you know, Thomas Paine, when you read the things that he said, he has a lot of things to say against organized religion. Of course, he was a deist. But you have to think about the context of the time, too. I mean, the idea of organized religion was really the state. You know, the state was imposing, you do this or you're going to get in trouble. And it was... you know, there was no protection of different ideas, religious ideas, like John is saying. And so, yeah, to interpret that today, as people often do, that, oh, we shouldn't say under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, or this mention to God, of God on our currency, or to have reference to God in our courtrooms, you know, that's not what we're talking about at all, and that's really very far from it. Like you said, and you know, all over the monuments in Washington, we have reference to God. We have Moses there, and you know, and all of that, the respect for law, and when you really get down to it, like we talked about with morality, is man the highest form of authority? Should we obey the laws just because man has made them? Just because a group of men say that it's right? No. It ultimately goes back to God.
One other quick point, sorry. But when you were talking about something a minute ago, I just have to mention this. When anybody starts talking about abuses done in the name of religion, when they talk about contemporary Islam or Catholic crusades and persecutions and so forth and so on, the political system that dominated a great percentage of the world's population all through the 20th century, from the Russian Revolution in October of 1917, was communism. Communism is officially atheistic. Whether you're talking about the Russian version, Stalin, whether you're talking about the Chinese version, Mao, the Yugoslavian version that existed for a while under Tito, communism is officially atheistic. And there is no political system, including even Nazi Germany, that has wrought as much destruction on humanity as communism in the 20th century. So my point is, no atheist should dare mention abuses done in the name of religion, because abuses to mankind done in the name of official atheism and a government based upon atheism, communism, far outweighs anything that's ever been done in the name of God. So that is a poor argument indeed.
And by the way, I mean, thank you for your comments, because this is a realm where
I'll keep going then, all right? Sit down.
This is a realm where I really haven't done a lot of study in it, and going into this, I knew that you have a lot of background in this, and so I'm thankful for that, and I was kind of broadening my horizons and looking at this.
One thing that I'm maybe off base with one, and John may want to comment on this. I guess I'd rather religion be limited in schools rather than somebody be allowed to teach false things to while my children were in school, and I'm not sure how that can be gauged. I think respect and reverence should be given to God, but as long as it doesn't go. I remember somebody may have remembered that maybe where I was usually when the Gideons handed out Bibles, the Catholic children were not allowed to accept them. I think like fifth or sixth grade when I was in school, and their parents told them that they couldn't take the New Testament, or the New Testament of the Bible, because the New Testament being handed out. Mm-hmm. But I had some hesitancy about pressing too far into their educational system, in the sense that be done, it's open to almost everything at that point.
Right. So. Yeah, that's the issue with these things like prayer in school. We're all in the situation where somebody that is, given the false doctrine is the leader in prayer. And, at my graduation, there's a girl that led the prayer, and I wasn't very comfortable with that, but we all have to deal with those situations, But at least mention of God is made, and recognition. So there is two sides to that. So, all of these, things that we've talked about, the removal of the Ten Commandments and the phrase under God and the Pledge of Allegiance and the mention of God on our currency, these are all examples that we're aware of that happen through our government and legislation. And then education, as we're talking about. A lot of students are taught that, like we said, that science has really forced us to the conclusion that evolution is true, and the insistence upon only evolution being taught, and I think this is where it comes in, that if you could at least give the possibility that something supernatural creates, I don't see why they can't give both of those. But they taught, you see number three there, they accuse us of being intolerant, but they won't even have two interpretations of the evidence. They won't allow a second one. They want only the evolution taught. And it goes back to this idea, people like Richard Dawkins that say if you don't believe in evolution, then you're either ignorant, stupid, or you're wicked. And he said, but I'd rather not consider that. And of course, his definition of wicked, because he can't have an objective definition of wicked. And so there's that issue. And then prayers, reference to God and the Bible, not allowed in many schools. I have some examples here that I got from Brad Harab that are pretty good display of what I'm talking about as far as this is concerned. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a young girl was rebuked because she passed out Valentine's cards that said, Jesus loves you. In Lebanon, Tennessee, a school system was fined $171,000 because it allowed parents to come together and to pray for the children. In Los Angeles, there was a young man that had a speech course, and in his speech he mentioned God, morality, and gave the dictionary definition of marriage. The professor stopped him, called him a fascist, and said that if anybody was offended by his remarks, they could leave. Nobody left. He became more infuriated and dismissed the class. And as he left to pick up his backpack, he had the speech there, and the professor said, ask God what your grade is. In Naples, Florida, there was a man that would go to a school and give out Bibles on one day out of the year, National Religious Freedom Day, and one year, he was told he could not do that on National Religious Freedom Day. He couldn't hand out Bibles. James Arnett in Hamilton County, Ohio, confessed serial child rapist because in his sentencing, the judge cited Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6, which is the reference, it would be better if a millstone were hung about his neck and he'd thrown into the depths of the sea if you offend one of these little ones. Because he referenced the Bible in his sentencing, the sentencing was overturned and he's now put back into the court system and going to have to be retried. Now this was somebody who was a confessed serial rapist, and just because reference was made to God, they're throwing out the case. And a reference was made to the Bible. Even though, you know, the sentencing was true, we can't have any reference to the Bible. Omaha, Nebraska, a boy tried to read his Bible in study hall just to himself, you know, just during the study period, and he was told that he was not allowed to do that. Someplace in Middle Tennessee, a school bus driver saw a young girl trying to read her Bible by herself and told her she was not allowed to do that. Denver, Colorado, a elementary principal removed the Bible from the library. That would be what he thought would be the worst book that the kids could get a hold of in the library. And of course, near Denver, Colorado, very near, is where Columbine happened. And so, you know, if we teach them that there is no value to human life, then what do we expect? Houston, Texas, these two sisters had Bibles. They were escorted to the principal's office by a teacher, and the Bibles were thrown in the garbage, and parents were called, and they were trying to call the authorities in on the matter. And so over and over throughout our nation, we have these things happening, and even to people that aren't really standing up and trying to spread it, but just to read during the study hall. And you take this and you compare it to, I have here the table of contents of McGuffey's Fifth Eclectic Reader. Copyright, first one is 1879, second one's 1896, and then a third one in 1907 and 1920. And this is a very common fifth grade reader for, or fifth eclectic reader for schools in those times. And let me just read a couple of the chapters, their title to you. Chapter 15 is Selected Paragraphs from the Bible, I actually read that, and that was straight from Psalms. Chapter 25 is entitled The Righteous Never Forsaken. Chapter 51, The Goodness of God, from the Bible. Chapter 93, Religion, the Only Basis of Society. And then chapters 116 and 117, The Bible, the Best of All Classics, and My Mother's Bible. And so, to be going from having the Bible as part of your textbook to this definitely shows how effective anything against religion has come. And really, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a reverse discrimination. Christianity is the first religion that is discriminated, and other ones come second to that. I think I've told you the story before about Tennessee State University a few years ago when I was down in Tennessee, was going to host free classes on Islam and use the government facilities for that purpose. And it came to the attention of the dean of our school. And so he wrote Tennessee State University and asked if it would be possible if he could teach free classes on Christianity in the same building, using the same facilities, because they are using, you know, they were based on government funds. And they didn't reply to him, but, well, I guess they did send something out a few weeks later that said that they were not able to host it, and they had some poor reason for it, like they didn't think that they had the facilities for it. And so, you know, where is the ACLU on something like that?
Did they go ahead with the Islam class?
No, they didn't. They canceled it, as far as I understand.
They were afraid of a lawsuit.
Yeah. But you see, the ACLU is really quick to jump on somebody's side if a prayer is uttered, or if the Bible was going to be taught in school. But if Islam is taught, not so quick. And so that's where we're at in this. And really, atheists wish to move it to the fact that anybody that believes that creation is possible or viable and believes the Bible, they want it to be just people that are, you know, maybe people that are out in the woods that really aren't connected with society. And they're doing a good job in our education and governmental systems of at least getting the teaching done publicly. Now, I think that they're probably less effective, and it's hard to measure how effective they really are in converting people to their side. It's really hard to measure because, you know, a lot of us went through public schools and we still believe. But it is a concern, and I think that we should be ready and prepared to meet it. Does anybody have anything else on this chapter?
I think this is something that just didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It has progressed or evolutionized over several years. And I never will forget, in first grade, I know John's my age. So it was 1968. I never will forget it. I mean, I was little, but we had a poster about the caveman and all that. And that was, I don't know when it was actually put in school systems first. But I knew it was a big ordeal when they put that poster up in the 60s. And it confused me, you know, being, because I was brought up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen? You know, I guess God created this. That's what I thought, you know. I said, I guess they started out that way. But, you know, it just didn't come up overnight. Christians around the world didn't see this coming at first, and then it snowballed. And we have to be ready to put our armor on and stand up. And that's where I think we rise a fence, or we get maybe wishy-washy or something. Because if we don't stand up, more and more and more people are going to be siding on that other side, and it's going to be
you,
a few of us.
You tell a lie long enough and loud enough, and everybody will believe it.
Yeah. Well, Jenna's talking about the 60s. Let's go way, 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 way back. Mark, what do you remember when you...
You want to talk about the game, man?
I think he was paying attention.
I remember sixth grade reading Bible verses before class started. Mm-hmm. The teacher had to read Bible verses.
We have prayer on the end.
So, yeah, and that prayer.
Yeah.
And to this day, Russell's was a prayer at football game.
Mm-hmm.
So, expensive, more severe in some cases than others, but
it all depends on the place. Doesn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just wait till they catch up with us.
Yeah, and I think that the atheists have expressed concern as far as even in, I mean, certain localities, I mean, they really haven't made an effect.
I think atheism is definitely much more vocal, though, than it used to be, but so are gays and everything else. It's all symptomatic. It's all the same thing.
Somebody made the observation, and I think it's very true. You talk about when society breaks down, there are three things that, differences that we no longer recognize in a breakdown of society. First of all is the breakdown of the difference between God and man. Secondly is the difference between man and animal. And thirdly is the difference between male and female. And all three of those have really happened to our society. And that's why, you know, in Colorado that I was talking about, they have taken down the signs of the boys and girls restrooms, and boys and girls use the same restroom at the same time. There's jail time and fines for any new restaurant or coffee shop that doesn't give gender-neutral bathrooms. And this is happening now in Colorado. And if you discriminate, there's a heavy penalty for it. And so that means that it is legal, and I guess it's happening now, that you might have a 5-year-old girl or a 6-year-old girl that goes to the same restroom at the same time. There's a 60-year-old man in the same restroom at the same time. And when we think about that, and we think about the difference between, if we're just highly evolved apes, and there is no difference between us and God, there are so many lines of respect that go into that that we don't even realize that are lost when we don't make the difference between those things. And I mean, even on that third thing, the difference between male and female, there's a lot of respect that is lost when that happens. And so it's no wonder that we're in the shape that we're in when we break down those three things. Exactly what we talked about last time in Romans chapter 1, that spiral of immorality that they went down into once they cast God out of their mind. So you get rid of God, you're left up to your own imaginations and devices, you worship the creature more than the creator, you give into homosexuality and other things, and there's just no end to it. Does anybody have anything else? Well, if not, I'll let you go and watch the Kentucky game. So.